Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about on this show. Hope you had a fabulous weekend as we swing into a new week. We have the Iran nuclear talks hitting a big fat snag. Are you surprised by that? We have the scouts closer to ending their gay ban, and transgender is the word. The military said they may lift their transgender ban word from the Pentagon. My source says that's just a done deal. It's only a matter of time. Crazy story about a Boston cop who turned in his son. He's charged with helping ISIS. You know, this is what we talk about. The people who get radicalized and that are living among us in the United States. How about a father turning in his son? So we're broadcasting from Washington today. We'll be back in our satellite facility in Dallas in our next show. But as we kick things off, Scott Walker makes it official. So now there are 15 Republicans running for president. Do you believe it? 15 Republicans. It's interesting with the Walker announcement because Rand Paul also announced that he took in $7 million in the second quarter. It seems like forever when we heard that Rand Paul was running because why? He's the first guy in the door. The first guy in the door, and now we have 15. Walker finally made it official. I think at this point he had to make it official. So as we kind of turn up the volume on what's happening campaign-wise, you know, we're still out from the primaries. How many months away are we? We're not even in 2016 yet, but yet the talk is of how many Republicans are jumping into the race. So he becomes the latest, and remember he was famous for demolishing the union, putting the iron fist and smacking down on it in Wisconsin. And it's interesting too as well because in Washington we're talking to some teachers mostly about curriculum and things that have to happen in the classrooms, but also as we're here at this meeting, you know, the big union, the American Federation of Teachers, some of the people that you'll meet will tell us why they think the union is unfairly criticized, why the teachers union, why they're doing things that, you know, how they're doing things that people don't know, and then some of the things that are happening in the classrooms across the country. We'll meet some pretty darn interesting people who have done some pretty wild things, I think, wild things in the sense of really reaching out, including in Baltimore, because of what happened with Freddie Gray and the craziness that ensued there and the community outreach program. We're going to talk to a woman who's been instrumental in that coming up this hour. And then also in our next hour, Jane Clementi joins us. Sad story there. Her son, if you remember, Tyler, jumped off the George Washington Bridge after being cyberbullied, and he was he's a gay young man who was being taped in his room, and it, you know, in a conversation, etc. And it was just a terrible, terrible thing that happened in New Jersey. And this has been, you know, over 2 years ago. She started a foundation for her son. I really admire the strength of someone who can do that. Can you imagine losing your own child? And then now has started this day one where it's all just period about bullying, no matter what the situation is, but just stopping bullying in the classrooms. And because it's gotten so out of control, I think at this point, anything that helps the kids is, you know, is a good thing, because there's this crazy line now that we've fallen into that we weren't in before. When I was a kid growing up, joking was one thing, but certainly not to the point where I was getting abused, you know, through the internet, where people were posting things or writing things, and how sensitive kids are to that. But anyway, I'll introduce you to her coming up in our next hour. Before we get there, though, I mentioned the Pentagon. My source said it's a done deal. They're going to lift that ban. They're saying May, but he says they're going to lift the ban on the transgender people. And, of course, this is the era that we live in now, as we've seen what's happened in the last couple of weeks. And some of this goes back to the reaction to Caitlyn Jenner, a.k.a. Bruce Jenner. It's just a different world, isn't it? So in bouncing from the Pentagon and the focus there to, you know, keeping up with what laws have changed, and bouncing around to these nuclear talks. The nuclear talks now have been extended through Monday. Now, this is one of these things where, remember, it was the end of June, and it looked like it was going to collapse, and then it looked like it was going to come through, and now here we are back again saying, okay, there's just a few things that have to happen. And I wonder, for all of you listening, how much you trust this kind of deal. I mean, is it good to have Iran run amok with nuclear capabilities? I don't think so. I mean, I disagree with the former congressman from Texas, who I really liked a lot of his ideas, Ron Paul, when he said, you know, we need to stay out of their business. I don't completely agree, because I think Iran has stabbed us in the back so many times that we need to be in their face. So if being in their face is somehow working through this program, which I think is not going to necessarily amount to anything of what we think it'll amount to, but at least being in the game. So this is the latest thing. They've extended it to money. It's the third extension on this final round of talks to reach a deal that will curb their nuclear program. Now, what the State Department is saying, they're saying the extension would allow for more time to negotiate, and that the interim agreement, known as the Joint Plan of Action, would be extended through Monday. So then you look at it, and I looked at a quote from Iran's foreign minister, who says they'll probably drag on. He said the other day, I doubt it'll happen today, and he told reporters that in Vienna, when he was asked if negotiators would be there on Monday, he said from a balcony, I hope not. So I don't know. Maybe it wraps up before that. But what's going to come out of the deal? I mean, is it better to have a nuclear deal with Iran than to have no deal? Does it help us in any way? Something to think about. From the White House today, the transparent White House, she said jokingly, because as you know, the most liberal person who comes on the show, Ellen Ratner, said many, many times, there's no transparency when it comes to what's going on in the White House. But this was a pretty much a layup. The White House, a couple of things. White House authorized up to 450 additional troops in Iraq. That kind of went under the radar because there were 46 commuted sentences. That was sort of a drop in the bucket, too. You know, right before news time, boom, here's what we're talking about. We're sending a few more troops to Iraq, and we're commuting a couple of the sentences of drug offenders. Now, with drug offenders, what they're saying is non-violent criminals, that's what we're talking about, deserving a second chance. But here's what I want to know. How do you get on that list? How do you get on that list? I know somebody who found themselves in that situation, and a relative of a relative, and the story was so cockamamie and crazy, and the amount of years they got in a federal prison, just absolutely unbelievable. No victims, nothing violent, but it was over the state lines, and it was had to do with, you know, marijuana. I don't know all the details. I can't recall them all, but I know at the time when I was told the story with the details in it, I thought it was pretty outrageous. So just my question is, how do you get on that list? Who gets their sentences commuted? It's people that are lobbying hard to make sure that that their folks get that sentence commuted. All right, I mentioned that we were going to talk about the cop turning in his son for ISIS, and we'll do that a little bit later this hour. And coming up also, we're going to talk to a woman who I mentioned already, has a really interesting story of what she's trying to do in Baltimore, and I applaud her efforts. That's coming up at the tail end of the hour. But actually, for now, stay with us, because coming up next, I'm going to talk about the situation in Boston.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
America Tonight. Keith Delaney hanging out with all of you. I mentioned this cop and turning in his son, who apparently was an ISIS fan. The Boston police captain, that's who he was, said that his kid allegedly took part in a terror plot. Can you imagine? So good for him for having the courage to do that. Can you imagine having to weigh that decision? Geez, do I turn my kid in? Well, when you're talking about ISIS and the things that we've seen, the march to the beach and the beheadings and the Americans who were killed, and I mean the list goes on and on. There is no doubt they are a vile group of human beings, and if we've got people in this country who are taking sides with ISIS and they're willing to do brutal things to other Americans, of course that was the smart thing for him to do. So here's what this story is about, the pieces that at least I know anyway. Supposedly Alexander Chicholio, just 23 years old, went by the name of Ali Al-America and posted about martyrdom and that kind of stuff on Facebook, spoke about setting off an explosive in places where a bunch of people would congregate, like college cafeterias. So here's the deal. He was seen buying a pressure cooker similar to the kind used by the Boston Marathon bombers, and his father reported his son to the FBI after noticing some really strange behavior. And what happened is this kid, who's an ISIS supporter, was going to set off, supposedly, an IED. He was arrested after getting four firearms as well on July 4th. So it was the pressure cooker and that really pushed the FBI in this direction. And according to close acquaintances, apparently, he had a history of problems, and in the last 18 months had just become obsessed with Islam, that he had some mental disease problems, and now it had swung in this direction. So the family released a statement thanking all the people in law enforcement for preventing any casualties and asking the public for privacy. I'm just going to give you a little bit of the statement. While we were saddened and disappointed to learn of our son's intention interventions. We're grateful that authorities were able to prevent any loss of life or to harm or harm to others. At this time, we would ask that the public and the media recognize our grief and respect our desire for privacy. And like I said, that has to be incredibly tough. Imagine the son of a Boston police captain involved in a terror plot. Oh, unbelievable. All right, here's something that is also equally unbelievable. I don't care where you fall down in the label department, how you want to label yourself. You know, when we talk about the situation with our immigration policy and we talk about sanctuary, I almost dropped my coffee this morning. I shouldn't say I almost dropped my coffee because, right, I'm used to this. But I guess Catherine Stentonall's parents are still completely grieving from their loss. And San Francisco and, you know, the feds, San Francisco and federal authorities are pointing fingers back and forth. The possibility of a lawsuit overturning the city's illegal immigration policy might be remote. Now, here's what happened. The parents of Steinle, whose death happened at the hands allegedly of an illegal immigrant in San Francisco, sparked a debate. And we had the debate on America Tonight about what we call sanctuary cities. And, you know, you just, can you imagine? Here's what happened. Steinle was walking with her husband and was walking through a tourist area. This was back on July 1st. And was shot. I mean, she was just strolling along, and she was shot. 32-year-old woman. So, if you haven't heard the story, that's what happened. The illegal who shot her is saying it was he had found the gun. It was an accident, all that kind of stuff. So, this policy is one that they have to re-examine. And you got about 100 cities that are blocking federal deportation of illegal immigrant criminals. And this is the problem. He was an illegal immigrant criminal. And here she was again, just walking down the street. I mean, this guy was an egregious offender. All the ICE guys knew him. Francisco Sanchez. So this isn't the sad story of somebody who came over and was working backbreaking work and then had this gun and it accidentally went off. No, there's much more at work here, and I can understand her family for being absolutely furious over this. And while nationally it made news, certainly in San Francisco it made huge news. This tragedy, I think, requires that these cities need to take a step back, take a breath, and really look at their policies. What do you think? Send me a note. You can flip it to me at americatonight.net. Trust me, we're going to be talking about this later in the week, you know, absolutely, without a doubt. I think it's one of the saddest stories I've heard, and it's shocking. You know, it's not, again, the story of a simple, whoops, the gun went off. No. There's something much more sinister at work here. And again, the fact that he was a serial offender, he goes to the prevention thing, and that's what's so darn awful about it. So awful. So Scott Walker is in. He's number 15. I mentioned this at the top. The Republican debates are coming up in August. Now these polls that will come out in the next couple days and the next couple of weeks will be huge, because that will determine who actually gets to be a part of these, at least this first debate anyway. Since they can't have 15 people on the stage, that would be, you know, absolutely ridiculous. In the meantime, on the Democratic side of things, Hillary Clinton is now vowing to raise taxes, reform Wall Street, and she's trying to, certainly, in her economic agenda speech, which I watched part of that, it seems as though she's trying to recapture a progressive kind of base with the words that she was using, especially with the Wall Street reform. But I think more than that, again, with the, well, it goes to the whole taxes thing, and we certainly know when you say the word taxes, run for the hills. But the Democratic front runner for president, Clinton, took a huge leap in telling people she's representing the progressive agenda. I mean, she's calling for tax increases, more regs on the streeters on Wall Street. And she certainly is going after a liberal base that really is inching to Bernie Sanders. We saw that when he was in Wisconsin. So her increase of taxes, she said, would be on large corporations and the highest wage earners. And then that's would be to recapture the progressives if she's saying that. She specifically vowed to revive efforts to institute the so-called Buffett rule, which is essentially a 30% millionaire tax. And I'll just quote a few quick things from her, and I happened to catch this when I was watching it. She said, those at the top have to pay their share. She was doing a 35-minute speech at a New York City college. She said, wealthy financiers have paid artificially low rates. And she called for minimum wage increases and urged companies to expand profit sharing of corporate earnings with workers. And that pretty much was, you know, the gist of what Hillary Clinton had to say. The other side of the coin is in a day where Walker announced, now we're 15, then you have Hillary Clinton talking economics, and in the middle of all of that, political-wise, looking at the politics of the day and realizing, oh, yeah, that's not till next year. Here's something that is crazy. You know how we talk about money that is being spent in all kinds of different directions? And, you know, again, I'll go to this who cares about labels thing, and we talk about government waste and the amount of things ridiculous things that we spend money on. And this came out today. The National Institutes, and I think lots of people are talking about it just as a throwaway of, are you kidding me? But the National Institutes of Health have spent over $3.5 million to determine why the majority of lesbians are obese. I guess it's in its fifth year. They are getting grants. They got another grant that's worth over, you know, $650,000 this past summer. I think you and I need to apply for grants. If that's what people are taking our money and studying with, I'm studying on, I don't get it. I don't understand. When you think of things that medically you can investigate, this is where you're targeting your dollars? I don't know. Really? That does not seem off target to you, or am I all wet on this one? Again, go to the email box, 24/7, baby. And speaking of calories, there's no calories in it when you hit me up. AmericaTonight.net. AmericaTonight.net. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with Freddie Ingram. Very excited to talk to him. You'll like him. He's from Miami, and he's a kid who pulled himself up by the bootstraps, really. And he'll tell you his story. And he's a music guy. He taught music in the schools. And I think it's important to teach music. Music is incredibly, has had some incredible benefits health-wise to people. And I'm starting to look at that more. More. He was a music teacher and band director for 10 years, and he was a finalist for Florida Teacher of the Year, and gosh, just a really cool guy I had a chance to spend some time with as we are broadcasting from Washington, D.C. Stay with us. Freddie's next on America Tonight.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness. The phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. SimpliSafe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, SimpliSafe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it, and that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. SimpliSafe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Many are in disbelief today after word of shocking allegations against a Minnesota-based talk syndication company known as GCN. It's claimed that they're the fourth largest talk syndication company in the U.S., making it even more scandalous that they've been accused of helping business owners expose themselves on a massive scale. scale. Let's go live to Tom for more on this story.
It's being called the greatest exposure of our lifetime. While other business owners are beginning to step forward claiming they too exposed themselves with the help of GCN.
It's true. They're all guilty. Every last one of them. GCN helped me get the exposure my company needed, and just think, that was years ago. Today, GCN has like 700 affiliate stations and over 6 million downloads from iTunes and their website every month.
Imagine the exposure your company can get.
Expose your business to the masses. Email advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. GCN.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation, and I am in the seat of liberty, as it's often called, at least in my family, because I grew up in Philly, a stone's throw away. For how many times did I make that trek to Washington, D.C.? I'm here for a very special reason, AFTs, and because I love this, I don't want to forget this. Their conference this year is called Your Voice Matters. Your Voice Matters. And when we talk about teachers, that certainly is true. I think so often, and I've said this on the show, I come from a family of teachers. I have several teachers in my family, and I've gone through the trials and tribulations with them teaching various grades. We've got UTD President Frederick Ingram with us, and he's from Miami, and in fact, he was part of the Miami-Dade Public Schools.
Right.
And I'm familiar with Miami, having relatives that lived in Miami, and here's what I love. He's a music teacher and band director. He pursued that road of becoming a music teacher and a band director at Booker T. Washington and Miami Carroll City High Schools. And can you imagine, because as somebody who supports the arts, so under attack, music and arts,
right.
and I think music is so important. I mean, in fact, now I just read a study where they're saying for people who are struggling with mental health issues,
right.
that music is so key that can help your brain work in a different way. Even I talked to a doctor last week who was on the show, and he told me, Frederick, that believe it or not, for Alzheimer's, one of the things to do for your memory, people right. think puzzles and all that, and that's great, but music, absolutely. Learning, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter if you're not great, but just learning music and right. doing the whole music thing. So thanks for stopping by. I know you've got a lot of people probably that want to speak to you. I want to re-rack your decision to become a teacher and going the music direction. What led you down that path?
Well, I got to tell you, I've always known that I was going to be a musician. You know, early on, I got hooked to music. I went through the early part of my childhood with a speech impediment. And so I, you know, was a major stutterer, I guess all the way through to seventh grade. But it was a music teacher that really helped to give me the confidence, showed me breathing techniques, taught me enunciations, along with my speech language pathologist, who within the school system as well. The combination of those two are the reason that I sit here today, because I was a kid who was going through the hard life in Miami. You know, I grew up in the inner city of Miami, and I grew up, you know, where we had generational poverty. My parents were there, God bless them, city bus drivers, and that's all they've done all their, you know, their life. My dad still drives bus 40 years later, and my mom is recently retired. But I found music early on in my life, and so it allowed me to see some things that I didn't see every day. Success, the aesthetic beauty in life, allowed me to mellow out a little bit and really touch success early. So I always knew that I would do music in a big way. And then when I went on to college, I found that I could give this gift back. And so I was a music education major in my undergrad. And, the rest is history.
And so do you remember the first time you stepped into the classroom and got to take it over? What was that moment like?
I do. Well, it was rough. It was rough for me because I was a young college student, 21 years old, and I taught middle school. And so middle school, God bless middle school teachers. I think they should be the most highly paid and decorated teachers in this country because you get kids who are going through that young childhood to, pre-teenager, and they're trying to find themselves as well. And for a young teacher, that can be difficult. And so I had a bit of a rough time my first year, but it was a cadre of good teachers around me that kept me in the business, the people who would not allow me to fail and not allow me to fail students. It was those mentor teachers that we had. Our chorus teacher was the best in the business. They partnered me with some other teachers who had been there for a while, and they would tell me, come here, young guy, we're going to show you the ropes here. And so, you know, I was the best and brightest, you know, coming from college, but it took that mentoring to show me the way. And so, you know, those kids gave me a run for my money. But I stuck it out, and 19 years later, I'm still here.
So, and let's switch gears and talk about, so I love that, 19 years later, I'm still here. There's something I read about you in your bio,
yes.
which I thought was really interesting, that you were elected UTD Secretary Treasurer in 2007.
That's right.
And you're very proud that you delivered balanced budgets for 5 straight years.
That's right.
With 5, here's the key thing, listening America tonight, folks, consecutive perfect audits by outside accountants.
That's right.
You know, that's one of the things people always complain about. Oh, what's going on with the school money? And
right.
sadly, like anything in life, you have corruption
sure.
often in school districts and whatnot. And then you have fabulous people, mm-hmm. and that gets lost in, I call it lost in the sauce, because
absolutely.
People don't always hear about that. So how did you do that? Were you just on top of those numbers, watching, keeping
yeah,
track?
Well, you know what? You have to be in things for the right reasons. And so our business is about making public education better, making our schools better, building better camaraderie between our teachers, ensuring that we have the proper professional development, and all of those things take a sound financial footing and a transparent situation. And that's what I was able to do. I, you know, through the confidence of the people who work every day in our schools, through the business internally that we have in our union, I was able to do what should be done. And teachers should not have to worry about the internal structure of their union. They should be worried about our kids. They should be worried about what's going on in our schools, how to make them better, academic success, and all of those things. And so, you know, my job is very small as it relates to the people who do the work every day.
Yeah. I have talked to a couple of people about this, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of people that are not pro-union.
Right.
We've seen that. We've seen the struggles in Chicago. We saw what happened
sure.
in Wisconsin. And you obviously have successfully navigated that and shown people, here it is. Here's the numbers.
Right.
this is all working. Let our teachers focus on the kids. And does that translate, do you think, into better grades, better learning, better classrooms? And isn't that part of it?
Well, absolutely. Because, you know, teaching is a family. It's a family business. And that's what we do. If we sincerely want to make our communities better, we want our students to grow up to be good stewards of society, and we really want to pay it forward for our country, then we have to believe in our students. We have to believe in our teachers. And so I think we're all in it for the right reasons. And when we can unite, when we arm each other with information, when we support one another with professional development, and when we find out that all of us are on the same page at the same time, that's what unionism is about. That it, you know, it's about being proactive for our profession, making things better for those that we teach and for those teachers who are yet to come.
What do you think the hardest challenge is? Well, what's the hardest challenge for you in Miami? Because every area is unique.
Right.
Miami's different from New Jersey and Chicago and Los Angeles and smaller towns, San Antonio and whatnot. What's the unique challenge to Miami and the school districts?
Well, we have a lot of unique challenges. But, you know, what I will tell you is, you know, for our country, I believe that people need to believe again in our system. Public education is the cornerstone of our democracy. It is the fact that we can take a child, no matter how they look, no matter what they come with, no matter their family background, their ethnic background, doesn't matter. Public education makes this thing better. And so when we can translate that to access and equity to all students and believe that, that is how we're going to fix everything. And give the teachers the voice to do it. And let us teach art. And let us teach music. And let us teach those aesthetic things that give a sense of morality and character to our students. Not only algebra and science and social studies, although those things are very important.
Right.
We have to develop the whole child. That's what this is about. Even our students who come with us with challenges, physical challenges and mental challenges, the thing that we believe and that our students deserve is that our country believes that we can educate everybody. That's what makes us different. That is the single thing that makes us different from every other place in the world.
Yeah. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're here with UTD President Frederick Ingram in Washington, D.C. Lots of people milling around. A lot of exciting conversations about where education's headed and whatnot. And when we go back to the music again,
sure.
Does it frighten you to think that there are a lot of schools, frankly, the school that I went to, which was a very good public school mm-hmm. in New Jersey. I'm public educated, went to Ohio University and had, who doesn't remember their most influential teacher?
Right.
And music and arts was big for me, even though I was not great at music, it still was very big for me. But
sure.
Sadly, my elementary school cut out music and I'm trying to go back and fund it. I'm trying to hold a fundraiser to fund that, and they told me, well, there's just no budget for it.
Right.
So how do we get music and arts back? Do we have to do it individually, get other people involved?
So I believe so, and there will be some that tell you that music, the art form, is dying. I will tell you that it's not. I would tell you that the music industry is probably bigger than it's ever been. If we don't teach our students the correct way to interpret music, to understand what music actually means, to bring that meaning to some family, then we get what we get. And, you know, us old folks, we like to say, hey, listen, something's wrong with this music or something's happening. Well, we're not teaching them in schools. You know, we're not teaching them Bach and Mendelssohn and Baroque music and Romantic music. That's the kind of music that we should be teaching in schools. So we have ourselves to blame, and we need to do better by our students, because where you and I had marching band, where those kids got out there every summer and the sweat and the work and the cooperation and the teamwork that you learn, our kids are not getting that. And so if we can think back to what made school good for us, you know, the pep rallies, the school gatherings, the band concerts, you know, the dance concerts, if we can think back, that was good for us. That was good for us because it taught us some things that you don't get in the conventional classroom. You know, when you step out of your realm and you can do some things like that, that is what it's about. And now we're caught in this endless loop of vile testing. And that's not the way that we teach our kids. That's not what our students deserve. That's not what our future deserves. I always say, our kids will take care of us one way or another. And we better put in the work beforehand, because, you know, the further we go down the line, it gets too late, because we make good kids bad because we don't teach them the aesthetic beauty of life. And that's what music does.
Yep.
We've got to get music back in the school.
Yep.
We've got to start in elementary schools and go all the way through high school.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. perfect way to end this. Frederick, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much.
We're on the same page. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Back with more. Hang with us, everyone.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past few years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We're in Washington, D.C. We've been talking about all things teachers in lots of different directions here. It's pretty exciting to be here because I talk about education on the show a lot. And the children are our future, and education is so important. No matter where you are in your life, you can't deny what education can do and how it can lift you up or how it can cream you, as I say. It can cream you, too. So I think we're going to talk about lifting you up here because we've got Angie Artis with us, and she's with AFT Maryland. But one of the things that's interesting about Angie, I learned through the grapevine, is she's been instrumental in helping these community schools. And these community schools are helping kids in Baltimore thrive. And three of the schools just got awards, if I'm right, if I understand that to be correct. So when people are attacking public education, here's three examples of schools that are really nailing it. Angie, first of all, thanks for stopping by. And what is it about those schools that work together, that, you know, that came together so well?
Thank you for having me. The difference in a community school as compared to what you think of as a traditional school is it's really a holistic approach. It's not about about just what's going on in the classroom. It's about what's going on at home, what's going on in the neighborhood, because there are so many outside factors that affect education that aren't addressed. And especially in a city like Baltimore, you can't ignore them. You can't ignore what's going on in the streets. You can't ignore what's going on in the homes. So in these community schools, it's an approach where it's a higher amount of parent involvement than you see in other schools. That's one of the key factors. And then it's also a higher amount of community involvement. So when you become a community school in Baltimore, there is a needs assessment where people go out into the neighborhoods. They're knocking on individual doors and talking with, again, not only parents, but community members. What's going on here? What does this community need? What is going to facilitate the best education possible for these children?
And I know you're part of this, and kind of dovetailing into this, reclaiming Baltimore, reclaim Baltimore. Explain what that is. And our listeners will really want to know, because as you know, the whole Freddie Gray thing just exploded nationally, and there was misinformation. There was things that came out that were crazy, and terrible things were shown, of course, all over, sad things that were happening in Baltimore.
Right. And so Reclaim Baltimore was born out of the civil unrest that happened after Freddie Gray. And you know, the opportunity, it's sad that something like this has to happen for opportunity to be created, but Reclaim Baltimore is digging deep into our communities, about lifting them up, about finding an area that is in need. So what we are doing is we're taking the community school strategy to the next level, I guess you'd say. We are really going to hone in on an area. We are going to do even deeper assessment of that, of those families, of those neighborhoods, and we're going to take a community school, again, is a school that not only addresses what happens in the classroom. If there are things going on outside of the classroom, like you're having a lot of parents who don't have high school educations, they're providing opportunity for them to get GEDs. They're providing resume services for those parents to be able to be employed. Mm-hmm. Because as we know, the unemployment is one of the huge factors as to what happened. You know, if people don't have jobs, they don't have a future. They don't see any opportunity, and that's where things like this arise. You know, one of the things I'd like to talk about on that day, one of our community schools that won an award, Ben Franklin High School, was having its Franklin Fest, its community event, on that same day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was just miles down the road. Baltimore's not the largest city. And that event was beautiful. Everyone had a great day. The feedback was talking about how it's one of the best experiences they've had in school. And that's a school that was ready to close down before it adopted the community school strategy.
Wow.
You know, one of the great things that school did is it noticed it's a high school, and it noticed that a lot of the students that were dropping out are having chronic absenteeism. Instead of just writing them off, they looked into why. Why are they dropping out? Why are they having chronic absenteeism? And they found out that they have a large amount of teen parents in that school. They now have a child care center to take care of the children of those children. So they're in school now, and they've got a safe place for their children to be while they're continuing in an education.
Wow, an amazing story. Instead of just writing them off and saying, well, you know, maybe they'll get into a program, because as you know, what happens a lot of times in a poor neighborhood, the loss of hope.
Exactly.
Right? And so you've seen that community schools have given the, hope back to certain areas. What is the thing that people listening across the United States could take from that you think is so amazing? You've told us some great stories. Is it to set up the community school? Of course, you need funding. But when you do that, do you go in and have parent meetings and talk to people and get them to embrace it? Because what if they say, no, I'm not going to do that?
And that's great. There is an amazing organization called the Family League of Baltimore who facilitates the community school program within our city. And they have a great program where you start off as a year zero school. And during that year zero, you're finding out, is that school ready? Is that community ready? And again, they're knocking on doors. They're having parent meetings. They're finding out, what does this school and what do these parents and what does this community need? And they partner them up with some organization. Some of the places like the Y of Maryland is one of the partners in community schools. And they partner them up with an organization like that. And they bring in a site coordinator. And when that school launches, as you'd say, as a community school, they have a person on staff who 24/7, it's these people are some of the most amazing people I've ever met. 24/7, their job is to think about that school and that community, and how do I leverage more partnerships? How do I bring more into this school? My school doesn't have a playground that those children can play on. It's not safe. Let me find a partnership that can come in and help build that for us, you know?
How many other community schools, and you probably won't know this off the top of your head, and we'll do a little research, but across the country, are we seeing, because if your model's working, I would hope that other people are adopting that to help their areas.
You know, I'm not sure of the exact number nationwide. We have 45 currently in Baltimore, and we're expanding next year, which I'm very excited about. The City Council of Baltimore and Mayor Shirley Rollins Blake have put in an additional $4.2 million into the strategy,
wow,
which is amazing, which covers not only the school, but also another key component to it is out-of-school time, what you might think of as before school and after-school programming. So there are schools that are open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're providing 3 hot meals a day. They're providing opportunity that isn't just, you know, they're giving tutoring services. They're giving mentoring services. They're giving them opportunities with arts and music that they would not be getting without this strategy.
Wow. Wow, amazing. To you, is it the 3 schools, is that the most significant thing to you? I mean, everything that's happened in your career, what makes you the most proud?
You know, the expansion with the city council and the mayor, getting that funding to be able to expand the strategy, and the Reclaim Baltimore. I am very excited. It's something we're launching this year, like I said, in the wake of what happened. And I think it's going to be an opportunity for, because again, teachers are your front line. You are the front line to poverty. We are the front line to education. We are the front line to all the trauma that goes on in this city. And our teachers are going to have the opportunity to have input to be able to raise up Baltimore. So I am very excited for the Reclaim Baltimore that's going to be happening.
Double A, congratulations.
Thank you.
She got her coffee, too, so that's a good thing. Stay with us, everyone. All right, just terrific stuff from Angie Artist, and I think that the Reclaim Baltimore effort is a great one because, you know, you got to start at the schools. And how interesting is it, the community schools, as she mentioned, that you've got an elementary school from 77th to number 2. But it shows you that it works, and of course it works when you have parents involved and when you have schools coming together instead of at odds. If you're going to send your kids to school, if that's the route you're going, your grandkids are going to school, the more involvement there is, if there are hardships where churches or communities or the school community can reach out, of course, the better, so there's not that horrible, horrible pressure on the family unit. Coming up, speaking of horrible pressure, we're going to speak with, at the top of the hour, hope you're with us. If not, make sure you go to GCNlive.com and check out On Demand. We're going to have a conversation with Jane Clementi, co-founder of the Tyler Clementi Foundation, alongside her husband Joe, because she wanted to make sure that the society, our society, learns the consequences pretty much. And I'll say the same thing and talk about this at the top, of bullying and discrimination. She was shocked when it happened to her. Her son, Tyler, was cyberbullied in his dorm room at Rutgers, and unfortunately mentally could not handle it for whatever reasons that were mixed into what happened to him. He ended up jumping off the George Washington Bridge, and it was one of the saddest stories ever. I can remember talking about it here on the show. I remember many of you calling in and talking about how awful bullying is and what it can lead to. And I mean, he was a kid who was an LGBT kid, and you know, a lot of people didn't know, and then to be all of that exposed, you know, on the internet was just soul crushing, apparently, to him. Anyway, a very frank conversation with Jane Clementi, who has started something to help other kids so they don't end up in any kind of bullying situation, starting at the elementary level. So stay with us, and thanks for listening, as always, to America Tonight.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you?
I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.